Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Prepare Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah McCullough. The Prepare Podcast is a Salvation Army podcast where we meet with women of faith and in ministry as they share their experiences and wisdom to prepare and equip us in our faith pursuits and callings. This episode, we welcome Captain Janelle Gonzalez, the Territorial Intercultural Secretary for Women's Ministries. Today, Janelle shares her testimony of God's power and strength that He has revealed to her in a new way in the past 3 years after experiencing an unexpected divorce and an unexpected cancer diagnosis. Thank you again for sharing, Captain Janelle, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Here's my conversation with Captain Janelle. Hello, Captain Janelle Gonzalez. Welcome to the Prepare Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We are in a season of transition soon, and so it's important to get you on the Prepare Podcast before you take off to your next appointment in Western Michigan. And we've had Commissioner Heidi on, we've had Colonel Janice on, and now we're going to have you on. So our listeners are getting a sense of who's in our department. And also invited you on because you really have an incredible testimony, especially in the last 3 years, the things that you've experienced that I think if you shared that in this way could give a lot of people hope and give a lot of people some new perspective on who God is and what He can do. So before we get into all that, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the Prepare Podcast listeners.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. My name is Janelle Gonzalez. My current position here at THQ is Multicultural Transition into Intercultural Secretary for Women's Ministries. I'm originally from the country of Panama. When I was 15 years old, my parents were transferred to the Central Territory to serve here. I have two precious children, Nate, that is 7, and Jasmine, that is 1 year old. I moved from Panama in my junior year of high school. So I've been in this country for quite a while, you could say. After working for a few years and going to college, I entered the College for Officers training. I was commissioned 15 years ago. So this year I become a major. I had 4 core appointments in the Chicago area and then moved here to THQ where I met you. And that's how we met.
Yeah, that is really how we met. And so when I met you around 3 years ago, you were, you always go through a transition when you come into a new appointment, but you were going through other kinds of transitions as well. And then more transitions were on the bend that you couldn't even have foreseen. And so to have watched you go through all these experiences, and I keep using the words transition, with such dignity and grace and strength, it's been a real blessing for me to watch. But there's so much I still don't know either. And I know that you've been sharing your testimony at a few women's events that you've been guests at. So I just thought this was such a good opportunity, if you're willing, to share what you've been through in the last 3 years and what God has been revealing to you in that time. So I'm going to kick it back to you and ask you to share your testimony.
Yeah. In 2016, my husband of 12 years decided that he did not want to be married anymore and that he was leaving me and my 3-year-old son. I was devastated because I could not tell, or I did not know, that there was something wrong in our relationship, that he decided that he wanted to walk out. I cannot tell you that we had like arguments or fights or anything that will make a marriage be over.
Yeah.
So I was pretty much devastated. He packed his bag and he left, pretty much. My heart was broken in million pieces. I did not know what heartbreak felt like until that time. I asked him and I begged him to stay, that if we could find help to fix whatever the problem was. But he refused and he said no. I never thought I would be in a situation like this. I did not know what will happen with me and my son. After all, we are Salvation Army officers. Mm. We have a ministry together. I didn't know what the Salvation Army was going to do. But I remember my parents and my siblings came and consoled me and told me and gave me support. And they said that everything was going to be okay. We didn't know what was going to happen, mm-hmm. but that God was in control, even in the midst of everything. I remember crying probably for 2 months straight, mm-hmm. Day and night. I prayed for God every day, every night to bring him back. I remember praying and pleading for God to fix my marriage and to restore my family. Mm. During that time of prayer, I remember God telling me that he was not going to come back, but that he was going to do something beautiful in my life. Mm. I did not know what that meant, but I believe it. I believe that he was going to make something beautiful out of this situation. I remember being a co-officer. At that time, I was a co-officer in the Chicago Lawn Corps, and I made that decision to take one day at a time. And I asked my divisional leaders then if I could stay at that appointment and continue doing the ministry that God had placed in our hearts to do. I remember at one point during the entire thing that I was going through that I said, "The joy of the Lord will be my strength," mm-hmm. during this time. So I decided and I made that conscious decision every morning. And I said, I'm going to continue doing this. Mm-hmm. I did not understand why he left, but I knew that I had to continue, and I had a son that I had to take care of, and I had to continue. It was amazing to see how God still used me in his ministry, even though I was heartbroken and in pain. Now I'm a single mom, mm-hmm. something that I never thought will ever happen, because when you get married, you think and you believe and you know that is for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what mm-hmm. had happened. Mm-hmm. I remember my family, the core leadership and divisional leadership helping me and supporting me during that very hard time. Mm-hmm. But fast forwarding mm-hmm. a little, I remember that Matthew 6:33 became a verse that I said, okay, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And I said, okay, I'm going to focus on God's kingdom, mm-hmm. and I'm going to focus on my son mm-hmm. and making sure and caring for him. My focus was on God in the ministry.
That kept you going.
Kept me going. And I think that was like my main focus. Mm-hmm. And I found joy mm-hmm. in ministering and preaching. And it was interesting to see that even though I was in pain, I was still able mm-hmm. to do God's work. And I was able to see, we were able to see growth in that community in spite of what I was going
wow.
through.
Wow.
So I'm going to fast forward a little
more.
Yeah, go
for it. Yeah. Take us to the next chapter.
So I have known Jose since I moved to the USA and his family then. His wife passed away, and he started to soldier at my corps, the mm. corps that I was serving. I was really excited because even though the corps was doing, like, really good, mm-hmm. I said, I need help with yeah. men's ministry. There were just some areas that I could do, but it would be better if mm-hmm. Men, authority, they knew the word will know yeah. To be able to
yeah,
do
mature,
it.
Mature Christian leading
exactly.
the way. Yeah, definitely.
So we became good friends. We had both suffer a big loss in our lives. We could relate. So after a time, we got married. And that's how I got stationed here mm-hmm. at Territorial Headquarters.
Yeah. And then soon after that, not... So, or yeah, it was pretty soon. It was yeah. like in the next like 3 to f- 4 months.
3 months later.
Okay. Yeah. Another big change.
Yeah. 3 months later, I thought like I had left some of that pain behind. And But 3 months later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And at the same time that I was pregnant, I was very, very, very upset. I said, why me again, Lord? I cried, and I remember questioning God's love for me. I will say to myself, if you love me, why would you let this happen to me? But my dad, he's a pastor. He's a man of faith. But my parents, I have that privilege of having wonderful parents, Christian parents. And the day that I was diagnosed, he came into my room where I was devastated. I was like, pretty much everything is done. And he gave me John 11:44 that said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory so that God's son may be glorified through it. So at that moment, I said, okay, Lord, I believe this is coming from you. And from very young age, I always wanted my life to be to glorify God, not to glorify myself, but to bring glory to him. So I said, if this is what I have to go through to bring glory to you, to show others how powerful and how amazing you are, okay, let's do it. So I decided, I was worried about my son, about my new husband, that a few years ago had lost his wife to cancer. So I decided to fight. I said, I'm going to fight this disease. I'm going to go through everything that I have to. One of the things that the doctors had said to me when they gave me the bolt that I was pregnant and that I had breast cancer.
So did you really find out, like, was it like the same appointment or like?
Well, I had felt a lump and then on my breast. And then I was like, oh, it's nothing. And then a couple of months later, a couple of weeks later, I find out I was pregnant. So when I went to my doctor's appointment, they probably said, oh, it's hormones. Don't worry about it. And but they said, we're still going to check. But they said, due to your age, you're young. So this probably is nothing. So they did all the testing and they came and then it came back that it was breast cancer. So one of the things that the doctor mentioned was that abortion is legal in Illinois. So it will be easier for her to have one patient instead of two, especially because of the type of cancer that I had. But we prayed, my husband and I prayed, my family prayed, and I said, if God is letting me, he has brought this child to my life, there must be a purpose. So I said, no, we're going to go through the treatment. So we did surgery, which they were scared that because of the baby, that she was not going to make it through the first surgery.
How far along were you at that point?
I was probably like maybe nine weeks. So it was pretty early. Wow. So the doctor said, you know, there's a possibility of miscarriage. So we did the surgery, and I remember after coming out of surgery and even being still under anesthesia, and they waking me up, and they bring in an ultrasound machine, or I don't know what's it called, but one of those, and seeing our heartbeat just going boop, 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 boop. And I say, thank you, Lord, you did it again. And so we were very, very excited that we made it through surgery. Then a couple of weeks later, I started chemo. So the doctors were very concerned that if she was going to make it through chemo. And it was very hard chemo. I lost all my hair, all my eyelashes. it was very, very hard on me. But she was there. She was, every time we went and did ultrasound, her heartbeat was like very strong. And I fell in love with her heartbeat. And it was like, it was a scary moment because we were taking it one day at a time, and the doctors were taking it one day at a time. So I did 25 weeks of chemo, and at week 35, they decided to stop treatment and deliver my baby, Jasmine Hope. And they were all concerned that she probably would have to stay in the hospital because of having gone through all this chemo and all this medication. She probably will have to be in the hospital for a while and in NICU. And but I remember the day she was born, all the nurses and specialists were sitting. I mean, they were standing around with all their machines, with all the feeding tube, breathing tube, and everything.
Like ready to like do what they had
exactly,
to do.
Exactly, like resuscitate, I guess. And she was born, and she screamed, and she had a healthy lungs, and she was able to feed from a bottle on her own, and she was very strong, and they were very, very amazed of how great she was doing.
Yeah.
And also, she didn't have to stay in the NICU, and when I went home, like 2-3 days later, she went home with me, which was a big blessing. And it was a time where I could also witness to the people, even though I was scared because I didn't know what was going to happen. I was able to remind them that this is God's miracle. God is the one who's doing all of this. I don't know what the future holds, but I'm trusting that he has a purpose and he knows what he's doing. So Jasmine, now she's a year old and she's doing great and she's walking and she's babbling and she's talking, and I praise God for that. After I deliver her a week later, I continue my chemo treatments that I couldn't do while I was pregnant, and for a year I had to do other chemo treatments from preventing the cancer from coming back. And I had to do another surgery to remove areas of the cancer that was still there.
That was in the first year of Jasmine's life?
Yes. Yeah. Like I would say, when I deliver her 1 week, the other week I started chemo, the other week I had a surgery.
Right.
And then I had more chemo for maybe like 8 more weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I had radiation. And then chemo for this until I will be done with my last chemo next week, the 28th. So I'm really excited.
Yay.
And we were able to do some scans a couple of weeks ago, and everything looks good, and I'm in remission, cancer free, and and I praise God for that. It's been a journey. I wonder sometimes why I have had to go through those difficult times, but I remember that God has a purpose, and that I'm seeking His kingdom, and I know that He will take care of me.
Have you had? I know, like I shared that you went to you've been to a few core and at a women's ministries program and shared. Have you seen? Or have you had opportunities to like have one-on-one conversations with people, or just moments where people can connect with you and you can speak hope into their life?
Yeah, I've had opportunity, and I thank God that as I've been sharing my testimony of what God is doing in my life and what He has done in my life, I can see that people are understanding and believing and knowing that they can also trust God in the midst of their troubles. The last time I went to one of the women's ministries meetings in the Chicago area, one of the ladies were sharing her testimony also about going through cancer, and she's just starting the process. So she says, I give her hope. My life, or God working in me, gives her hope that that she can fight and she can continue doing it. I was able to do it while being pregnant. And she's like, I'm not pregnant, I can do it too. So it's interesting that sometimes we don't realize because we are not in in those shoes, or we're not going through that. How many people out there are hurting or suffering or dealing with major things in their lives, mm-hmm. as like divorce or having a child with disability or mm-hmm. Being ill and not, mm-hmm. not knowing what's going to happen. But it's great when you can share. Yeah, I wish I didn't go through all of this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say like, oh, yeah, thank you. Because really and truly, it was very difficult. It is still difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But during this time, I have learned to just rely fully on God and mm-hmm. put my life fully in His hand, and not to put my trust on myself,
yeah,
but to put it fully on God.
Yeah, that was kind of my next question was, like, would you say, I really have only known you for these last 3 years, so I don't know what your kind of mode of operation was before, before all these things happened, but were you kind of one of those people that kind of plowed through real relying on your own strength?
Well, I think in some sense, when I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but when you're young, you're strong, mm-hmm. you think you can do it all.
And think you're invincible. Exactly. What could go wrong?
Yeah, you have a perfect marriage. You have a child. You think you have it all perfect, and you think you are it. But then you realize that that's not the case.
Yeah.
And I think I mentioned this when I came to the department. I always try to, I'm a perfectionist. I always like to do things perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that my life was not perfect was really like a real wake up, like a slap, not a slap in the face, but really a slap in the mm-hmm. face to remind myself that my perfection is from Christ, the love that God has for me, me being His child. That's where my perfection comes, not from my own strength though. What I have or I don't have.
Mm-hmm. That is true. I would say you are a perfectionist.
Sorry.
No, it's good. Those are good qualities. But they could really throw you off when you realize how imperfect life is and how, cancer does not discriminate, you know?
Exactly. And even like the doctors, when I go to my treatment, most of the people that are there are older,
mm-hmm.
and they're asking me, what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Or even the doctor, he will say, like, I don't have patients. Most of my patients are not your age. Even him, he was, when I came a week later, my oncologist, when I came back with the baby, you could see a sigh of relief from him. Like,
mm-hmm.
oof, the hard part is, it's over because the baby's here and she's healthy. And even him had tears in his eyes. And he said, God did this.
Wow.
I didn't do it. God did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's powerful, and it's great to see how even doctors can acknowledge that God is our strength, that He's the one that's doing these miracles in our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Well, something that I've learned
mm-hmm.
during this time as I have gone through all of this in this past 3-4 years. I don't even remember.
Just so much in a really
short amount of time.
And, oh, my goodness.
And I realized that the enemy is there, and mm-hmm. he's attacking, and he's trying to get us down. And he will whisper. When I was going through the divorce, and even when I was going through treatment, he will try to whisper lies in my ears that if God loves you, why would He let this happen? If He's so powerful, why did He let cancer happen? Mm-hmm. And I had to acknowledge that that was the enemy trying to get me down to probably run away from God
mm-hmm.
and to be angry with God. And I had to be reminded, and one of the verses that I read during that time was Habakkuk
mm-hmm.
3:17-18 that says that the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes in the vines, through the olive crop fails and the field produced no food. Though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my God, my Savior. Mm-hmm. So even though things mm-hmm. might fall around me, mm-hmm. My conscience decision was that I will continue worshiping God and rejoice in my God.
Amen.
Something that I've also learned during this process is that when I was getting divorced and I was going through the entire process, and even like Jose came in my life in a key time in his life and mm-hmm. my life, I realized that God had a plan in all of that. Because the doctors will continue saying that if I was not pregnant, probably I wouldn't have realized that I had this lump that is cancer, and how aggressive the cancer that I had is, I probably wasn't gonna make it. Mm. So I look at my Jasmine Hope every day and I said, God used you to save my life. And sometimes we don't realize that things that we're going through right now might be helpful for something in the future.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, we have to cling to that too. That God won't waste this.
Exactly.
What we're going through, He will use to, like you said in the beginning, bring Him glory, but also with that, help others come into relationship with Christ, help others to rely on Christ and build their relationship with Him. God doesn't waste anything.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you so much, Captain Janelle, for sharing so openly. That takes a lot of courage to testify in a way that really exposes us and what we've been through. But I know, like we just said, God doesn't waste anything. And so whoever's listening, this will be meaningful to hear from your life. Do you have anything else you'd like to share to wrap us up?
Yeah, and my testimony as I came today is my hope is for others that are going through a really rough time out there to realize that, or to know and be assured that God loves them, mm-hmm. that He cares for them, and no matter what they're going through, that God is there with them. Mm-hmm. One of the verses that helped me during that time was Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future.
So, Jasmine Hope.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again for giving our listeners some of your time today and sharing from your experiences.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Captain Janelle, for your courage and your willingness to share from some of the deepest pain and sorrow of your life and what it's like to be on the other side and knowing that God never wastes anything we go through in this life. Listeners, we hope you leave today feeling prepared and equipped for tomorrow. See you next time.